It's OPB Politics Now for Friday, December 15th. This week, Governor Tina Kotek unveiled a list of recommendations she has for rejuvenating Portland's downtown, which has struggled to recover amid an economic downturn, sprawling homelessness crisis, and surge in illicit drug sales. The suggestions aren't a huge surprise to anyone familiar with downtown Portland's problems, but illustrate some of the biggest challenges on the city and state's horizon. Today, we'll give you a rundown on how we got here and what's next. Welcome to the podcast. I'm OPB Portland City Government reporter Alex Olinsky.
I'm OPB Politics reporter Dirk Vanderhart.
And I'm OPB Business reporter Kyra Buckley.
So, Dirk, can you start us off with a little background? Where did these recommendations come from and who were they informed by?
Sure. These were the product of what is known as the Portland Central City Task Force. That's this fairly sprawling body, something like 45 people just in the main committee, that Governor Tina Kotek announced in August as a way to sort of show urgency for rejuvenating downtown Portland. And the thinking at the time was that the governor wanted to bring people from all over the central city who had a stake in the central city. So think politicians from all levels of government, business leaders, nonprofit representatives, law enforcement, all those folks to a single table to think about what could be done fairly immediately to combat some of those major issues you talked about up top, Alex. Drug use, trash, the perception that things are not safe in Portland, and just this sort of sinking reputation on a national scale. The governor announced this, as I said, in August and gave the committee just 4 months to come up with some answers, and that's what we saw on Monday.
Right. So this all culminated in a big presentation at this business summit at the Moda Center on Monday. Kyra, can you set the scene? What was the atmosphere like there?
Yeah. So, most people are familiar with the Moda Center because maybe like you went to an NBA game there or you saw a concert. Personally, I saw Madonna there like 8 or 9 years ago. It was nothing like that. So it was more like a business conference at a big arena. The floor of the Moda Center was turned into like a banquet hall. There was a bunch of round tables. And really, the most energy kind of came from a contingent of college students that they gave a good cheer anytime Oregon State or U of O was mentioned. But otherwise, it was just very similar to any other business conference. There was a few hundred people in attendance, stakeholders like business owners, elected officials, lobbyists, nonprofit leaders. The thing that really set it apart, though, was the governor. The governor was the keynote. She was there in the morning introducing these recommendations. She did an interview on stage midday. But honestly, after that, a lot of folks left. They didn't really stick around for the afternoon programming. And I'll just also note that businesses beyond downtown Portland that might be struggling with things like inflation or competing for talent, they maybe didn't hear too much directed towards them. Although a lot of folks in the business community also do think that if downtown Portland is thriving, that has a ripple effect through the city and maybe even to other parts of the state.
So, Dirk, back to you. Can you run through some of the top recommendations that Kotek announced Monday?
Sure, yeah. And let's just be clear. We're talking about the central city here. I think we shorthand it downtown. It's actually like, for people familiar with Portland, there's some of the east side on there. It goes down to the south waterfront, maybe a little more expansive than the traditional version or definition of downtown. But the governor here has concluded that essentially the city needs more police, more shelter beds, more trained social workers out talking to people and seeing if they need help. And it needs less trash, less plywood covering windows, and fewer of the concerning scenes playing out on its street corners. So how does she want to get there? There are a number of core recommendations. These are things she wants to achieve, I think, in the next 6 months or so. I think most dramatically, the governor is supporting a push to ban public drug use, giving police the ability to stop someone from using hard drugs in public when they see it. That's something police around the state have said they cannot do since voters decriminalized low-level drug possession in 2020. And there have been calls in the time since for a change in the law. The governor also wants the state, the city, and the county to unite, sort of, in declaring a fentanyl state of emergency for at least 3 months. That's something she says will make it easier to share resources to combat the really sort of devastating impact the drug is currently having in Portland. And she's recommending $20 million to clean up trash along downtown highways. She's also, as I mentioned, calling on businesses to remove plywood. Here's just a little bit of what she told reporters after her presentation.
Are we going to have every problem solved in 6 months? I'm not saying that. I can't say that. I won't say that. What I will say is we'll have continued police presence. I think we will see less of the types of activities that are frankly discouraging people from being in the downtown core.
And Kotek is sort of tying this to the Rose Festival this summer, which she says will be a chance to show off the progress the city has made. One other thing we should note is Kotek's task force is recommending that Portland area governments freeze taxes in place for 3 years. There is this perception right now that Portland is a very high tax city that is not offering some of the services that people would expect for that high tax. Local leaders here think that it's a good idea to freeze the tax rate and just sort of ease up on people a little bit, I guess.
So a lot of big proposals and ideas, but who is responsible for making sure these recommendations are actually realized? Is that the governor, the state legislature, the business community, you know, local officials?
I don't think there is one person that is sort of the czar here saying this must happen, right? I mean, Kotek will clearly go to bat, for instance, for money to clean up trash on highways. That's something that will need to be passed by the legislature. They're also already seems to be legislative momentum behind banning public drug use. It's something a lot of lawmakers are talking about. But, you know, other things are less in Kotek's sphere, and it's not clear there's a sheriff in town to make them happen. The governor says, you know, she does have buy-in from Portland and Multnomah County for both the emergency declaration she's proposing and the tax freeze. So those seem to be in hand. But there are intangibles, too. I mean, one thing that really struck me, Alex, you mentioned the business community, is that there just haven't been many concrete expectations of the business community that we've heard. There is clearly this desire to get more workers downtown, for instance. We keep talking about plywood to remove that from the windows, a number of other things. But as of now, there do not seem to be commitments, hard commitments on that front from the business community folks who were on these task forces. I asked Kotek about that, and she seemed to say that simply engaging in this process, in her mind, was a commitment by business, though she did suggest she will be asking more in coming months as this sort of starts to unfold.
So, to be honest, a lot of these ideas don't sound very new. Portland City Council, like you mentioned, has been pushing for banning public drug use for months and lobbying for a pause on taxes for years. And the shelter suggestion really seems to just repeat the work already done by the county and the city to team up on operating more shelters and transitional housing. Does it seem like people are pleased with these recommendations? What are you hearing?
It will probably not surprise you, Alex, that this is sort of a mixed bag. Kotek on Monday said she was encouraged by the response she got. And I have to say, people in the crowd seem particularly enthused about her announcement she wanted to ban public drug use. That clearly resonated there. But there has also been a lot of pushback to that idea. Groups like the ACLU of Oregon, the Health Justice Recovery Alliance, which is this group that supports drug decriminalization, have said, you know, criminalizing public use risks backsliding to this drug war that disproportionately impacted people of color. They say the emphasis should be on making treatment more accessible, which Kotek wants to do, but they are not so keen on this police aspect. Elsewhere, people are sort of saying what you said, Alex, that none of this seems very new, that the governor seems to be reheating some existing ideas and maybe floating some things that should have been obvious. But I think there's also real hope that, you know, the governor is on board. She's saying we need to do this stuff. Maybe that leads to some of the quick positive change that she's talking about.
Yeah, so I can share a little feedback that I've heard also. I spoke with Mayor Ted Wheeler on Monday before this announcement, and he got a preview of kind of the suggestions. And he said he was pleased with the recommendations, but he did see two big omissions. One was a kind of mandate to have downtown businesses bring their employees back into the office, which he's requested for a while. And the second was to encourage businesses to not invest in campaigns that stoke fear and drive away investment in the city, like that lobbyist group People for Portland that spent a ton of money on billboards disparaging the city. Here's what he had to say about it.
We're competing against other cities all around the country for jobs, for investments, for travel, for tourism. We are in a fierce competition, and we're making it really, really easy for our competition when we have billboards that say we suck really badly here.
So in general, it seems like he wanted to see more commitment from business leaders in these recommendations, kind of what you mentioned, Dirk. So, Kyra, let's go back to you. What have you heard from the business community about these suggestions?
Yeah, so I spent some time in downtown this week just chatting with folks, asking if they were paying attention to the recommendations, checking in with businesses and employees. First, I want to introduce you to Paul Iman. He has worked downtown for a while. He's the property manager for Sovereign Apartments. It's a historic building right at Southwest Madison and Broadway. He's worked there for about 6.5 years. And, you know, Alex, he told me he's actually pretty mad at city leaders. And one of his big issues was the aesthetic of the city, specifically the amount of graffiti. Here's what he had to say.
Portland is such a beautiful city, and I've been here when it was beautiful, and to me, it's ugly. I'm mad at the leaders in the community because it's so predictable. They'll clean up an area, and overnight, it fills with graffiti.
Iman told me he's been following the task force, and he does like that Kotek has gotten involved, and he likes what she's been doing, but he still wants to see more work to keep the city clean. He also said that a bigger police presence is helpful, and that's something I've heard from a lot of business owners and downtown employees. And I should note that some people were actually kind of uncomfortable telling me that. They don't feel necessarily like more policing is going to overall help the addiction and homelessness crisis. But they said having more police around their business does improve the atmosphere for employees and customers. And in general, that was something people liked about the recommendations. As has been mentioned, downtown businesses, they do have a pretty high tax burden, and it has gone up in recent years. So that recommendation to pause new taxes and fees, that one was very welcome. But the task force was also pretty limited in a lot of ways. So I also talked with Lisa Schroeder. She's the executive chef and owner of Mother's Bistro. It's at Southwest 3rd and Ash, and she was on the task force. So she told me she pushed for a few things that didn't quite make it on the list.
So while I didn't see all the things that I would have wanted to see, like a Cheers-type van to take intoxicated people off the street and a detox center for them to heal, that it was explained to me that that wasn't on the list because that's going to take more than 6 months to do.
And Schroeder said she gets it, that the task force is really focused on short-term solutions to kind of jumpstart downtown's recovery. But I think that's important to keep in mind, that there's still a lot of work to be done for more long-term solutions.
Right. It's just a drop in the bucket to some folks. So this might be an obvious question, but I think it's worth explaining. Can you explain why the success of local businesses matters to revitalizing Portland's central downtown? Why should we care?
Yeah, you know, I've been posing this question to both economists and to the business groups representing downtown, and I do always feel like a little flippant when I ask, like, so why should we care about downtown? But, you know, really, economists, they see downtowns in general as a bellwether for the economic health of the rest of the city and even the state. You know, it's a commerce hub, but also it's where people from in and out of Oregon, they come to gather in Portland. And I spoke with a lot of folks yesterday that they said, yeah, like, local businesses are important and we want people to come downtown and spend money. But having that gathering place for to come see art and culture and performances and spend time together, that's really important. And that having that type of center for the community will then kind of ripple out and it will help all the local businesses and the other businesses that come here to Oregon to interact with the state. So I think that's one of the reasons. But, you know, also people said that the problems in downtown Portland, they exist across the state to varying degrees. So if there are solutions that work in Portland, they might work other places as well.
Right. So let's just take a step back before we close here. What did this task force really accomplish? It felt like a really ambitious thing to solve all of these issues in, you know, the span of 4 months and a few meetings. What do you see, both of you, as the biggest steps forward? And Kyra, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you know, like, Alex, both you and Dirk have already mentioned this, that, like, no one is super surprised by these recommendations. That's true for the business community as well. But what people said to me was that it was a big deal that the task force essentially got all these people in a room together, people that aren't always used to talking to each other, or maybe they only see each other once a year at these business conferences, getting them in a room and talking about some of these big challenges, that was huge. And I did talk to people that they were optimistic. They were cautiously optimistic, I'll say. But they said that they hope that this type of task force is going to lead to kind of ongoing collaboration to help solve some of these issues.
And I think that's what we heard from a lot of government folks, too. COTEC, especially, her big thing here was alignment, you know? I mean, the governor, since she came into office, has not made much of a secret that she's not too happy with the leadership in Multnomah County and Portland and how they've tackled some of this stuff. So she kind of sprung this on them and said, look, we need to get a bunch of people on board here, rowing in the same direction. I think she believes that through this process, all three levels of government can begin doing that. I mean, here's part of what she told reporters.
The alignment and the amplification of this work is going to be critical for the next 6 months to show not only the state, but the nation that Portland is turning a corner. And we are focused on results to make this a place where people want to visit and live in. And that's part of the recovery we're focused on.
And, you know, even if some of these ideas existed, certainly they did, Alex. I think she would argue that the conversations were fruitful for finding buy-in. But here's the other thing I think we should keep in mind, right? And Kyra kind of said this. It doesn't stop here. And from my angle, you know, what I cover, we have a legislative session coming up in February. There is, for instance, a growing drumbeat to go farther than the governor is proposing here, particularly when it comes to what kinds of crimes exist. Are we going to recriminalize small-time possession of drugs? That's something that a lot more people are talking about. The governor was noncommittal this week when asked if she would support that. So, you know, these recommendations are there. The reality of what we might be seeing could be a lot different. And as we often say at the end of this podcast, I think we will just have to see how that goes.
We'll have to wait. Well, let's leave the conversation here for the day. The good news is we'll be back soon with more political coverage next week. Dirk and Kyra, thank you for joining me. This week's episode was produced by Andrew Thien, and our audio engineer is Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. We'll be back next week with more political news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, you can find all of OPB's reporting at opb.org. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.